Hey guys, welcome to Crypto Life 365, day 43. I'm definitely feeling better right now. It's kind of sucks getting sick because it really knocked me out and messed up my schedule for at least 2 days. And it was not an infection, but something that, well, let's just say I was really glad that I had a reserve of some strong pain pills for this. And that's kind of an overall issue that the whole medicine thing that I've also been dealing with recently in a way. So the stuff I have is a Percocet, which is not an over-the-counter drug. It's something that I got a while ago last time I had this issue. And instead of throwing these things away, like I'm told I'm supposed to, I actually kept a bunch of them in reserve. And I am glad I do have those because for situations like this, I also sometimes carry a spare one just in case because, I mean, you never know, like you might be driving someplace, get into an accident or slip and break something, you get hurt, break a bone, you're in a lot of pain, and your only choice is to just lay there for, you know, 15, 20 minutes, maybe an hour until somebody finally gets to you, and then from there they take it to a hospital where you might have to wait even longer before you actually get any kind of pain relief. But if you have one of these things, you just pop them and about 10 minutes later you're feeling fine again. And as I found out, apparently nurses around the country, I'm in US by the way, nurses around this country also a lot of times carry one or two of these pills with them too, even though it's not legal, but they do that for these kind of similar situations too, because you never know when you might get hurt or somebody you know might get hurt, and these things do help. Now the problem is that people abuse them, but not everybody does, so it's kind of annoying that we have a couple of bad actors spoiling it for the rest of us. And this whole thing was medicines being really restricted this way is just really sucks in general. Like, for another thing that happened recently is my best friend, he needs insulin. And unfortunately, here in US, there's two types of insulins that he needs. One of them he would have to pay $500 for, and the other one is $400, and that's for a month's supply. So every month he would have to pay $900, unless he goes through insurance, which, insurance covers it, and it's sold for a much cheaper price to insurance companies, but directly over the counter, well, you still need a prescription, but buying it directly will be about $900. So one way we found out to get around that is to order those meds from overseas. Specifically, we'll be getting them from Canada. If we get them from Canada, both of them will cost about $300 tops. So instead of $900, it's $300. It's still a lot of money, but it's at least somewhat manageable. But a couple of days ago, we got an email from the pharmacy we were buying it from saying that they will stop shipping of temperature-sensitive medicines, including insulin, from June 16th until the end of August, which kind of sucks because he needs this stuff to survive, and the most he'd be able to do is stretch it out until maybe middle of July. So for a month and a half he would have to either have no insulin at all, or we'd have to go and spend, I guess it'd be $1,800 for 2 months worth of insulin from a local pharmacy. And again, the reason that this is the case is because insulin is controlled, it's restricted for whatever stupid reason. There's no competition allowed for it. The entire medical industry here is severely regulated. There's generics can't compete with well-established ones. And what actually happens sometimes is a company will come up with a medicine and they'll get a patent on it. Then it would take up to 10 years for them to go through FAA process in order to be able to actually start selling it. and by the time they're able to sell it, they only have maybe 5 to 7 years left on their patent. So what they do is once they're, before their patent runs out, they take their formula and tweak it just a little bit, not in a way that'll actually make it work differently, but just in a way that'll change the formula. And then come out with a different patent, and if anybody tries to create an older version of it, they'll claim that it's too similar to the new version and stop them from doing it. So because of that, we have medical companies, pharmaceutical companies creating drugs, and then the government and FDC and stuff are keeping, allowing them to maintain monopoly on this stuff. And they're all complicit. All of these guys are working together to do this and know exactly what's going on. And money switches hands back and forth to keep it going. So, in general, everything is, like when it comes to meds, is just terrible. It's restricted. It's super expensive. Everybody complains about it. Unfortunately, most people are blaming this on like free market, and they're saying that if we had government-provided healthcare, this wouldn't be a problem. Even, but the thing is that this situation isn't a free market situation in any way, because the market is restricted and controlled and regulated to the point where nobody can even enter the market. And if we had government-provided healthcare, then we have a single customer who will buy those medicines no matter what. And then there, at that point, there's no reason for medical companies, pharmaceutical companies, to compete in price at all. They can sell for whatever price they want. The only thing that happens, there's a negotiation between government and the pharmaceutical companies. But that negotiation is just based on the two negotiators, and the buyer, the government, will have to take whatever price that the pharmaceutical companies decide to give them. So in the long run, what will happen is, even though we won't see drug prices go up directly, those drug prices will still be reflected in government expenditures, and we will be paying for them through tax dollars, and it will just add to the entire growing debt that we have to begin with. And in U.S., debt is not in a good position anyway. So just having us collectively socialize the payment for expensive meds, it's not really going to solve this issue. It's just going to spread it around everybody. And with our growing debt, it's not going to last very long anyway. So obviously my preferred method for this would be competition. But unfortunately, there's no way to set this up, at least in a legal way right now. And with the rest of the meds, like I mentioned, Percocet, painkillers, other medicines, people need them. People are responsible. The number of people who would abuse the drugs is small. And if drugs are legalized, like Portugal, for example, they legalized all drugs, and they started treating addiction as an illness, not a crime. So if you go to Portugal, you can get any kind of illegal drug you want, supposedly. But this happened, they legalized it like 10 years ago, but nobody hears anything about any issues in Portugal. Their addiction rates have not gone up because one of the big things is that, well, two reasons. One is that when you restrict something, you make it kind of more desirable. Like, for example, in places like when I stayed in Italy, from what I remember, there were no really age restrictions on alcohol if you drink with your family at home. So it was fairly normal to... if a kid who's less than 21 years old wanted to drink wine under adult supervision, it was not really anything scary or scandalous. But at the same time, kids learned about, you know, how drinking, what it does, how to do it properly, and getting drunk is considered an embarrassing thing. Whereas here we have alcohol is restricted until you're 21. So we end up with college kids and even high school kids having parties where people sneak in beer and alcohol, and then everybody gets drunk and plastered, and that's how you have fun in parties. So people don't learn about these things from, I guess, from adults. Or they don't learn how to manage these things, and everybody just goes binges and learns on their own, which is not a really good way to do that. So that's one thing. You keep things restricted from people. They kind of get more interested in it, whereas if it was just available, nobody would care about it. And the other thing is that, yeah, because it's restricted, nobody really talks about it or discusses or teaches about it. So with regards to, let's say, recreational drugs, all people are told is that this is dangerous, this will ruin your life, don't do this, and that's it. But they don't actually tell you about what kind of side effects there might be, what how to deal with it, and any kind of actual useful information. So, like, if you hear that this drug will make you, let's say, feel in some way, but it's really, really bad and it'll ruin your life and that's it, just don't do it because it's illegal, you don't really get much information. But if you learn that this drug will make you feel this way, but then it'll cause so-and-so side effects and there are these kind of issues and there are these things to watch out for, you might be a little bit more inclined not to get involved. Kind of like, well, with cigarettes, for example, smoking has actually gone down quite a lot, just because people have learned about all the various issues that happen with it. But, yeah, long story short, prohibition, this is what basically this is prohibition. Prohibition on drugs, prohibition on medicines, prohibition on a lot of stuff. And we learned that prohibition doesn't work. Back when U.S. tried to ban all alcohol, all that ended up with is lots of people died from poisoned alcohol. Some of the alcohol was even poisoned by the government to try to prevent people from drinking it, but that didn't work out. And it created a lot of organized crime and crime in general. And then our current prohibition, which nobody's calling it prohibition, but that's actually what it is our war on drugs, which... again, all that has created is a lot of crime, a lot of gang warfare, a lot of addictions, a lot of just really bad situations. And it has not actually stopped drug use at all. And somebody else, I saw an interesting text that somebody mentioned online recently that prohibition does not work. Even God failed at prohibition, because and had a picture of Adam and Eve with a whole thing where God told them don't eat the apple or the fruit of knowledge or whatever, and they still didn't even listen to God. So if they're not going to listen to God, why the hell would they listen to the government? But in a way, this does tie into the whole cryptocurrency, because there is a product, a service out there right now. It's called Open Bazaar, which came out a few years ago. It was created by Amir Taki originally as a dark market or something, which he just created the prototype, and it was later picked up by two more people who have been working on it since, and they renamed it Open Bazaar to kind of get rid of the evil-sounding connotation. And what this is imagine if eBay, Amazon, and BitTorrent all got together and had a baby. Effectively, it's an application that you run on your own computer. It only runs on your computer, but it talks to other applications that run on other people's computers. And what it does is it allows you to search all the other applications out there in a decentralized way to find out what is being sold. So you can buy things directly from others through your app. And it also allows you to sell things through your app and market it to everybody else. So in a way, it's kind of like running your own Amazon on your own computer that everybody else is connected to and can search in the same way that you can search Amazon or eBay. I don't believe it supports auctioning yet. Excuse me. So right now it's only allows you to sell for fixed prices, but it does mainly allow individuals to sell their stuff directly. And all the sales are done through cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin and other crypto as well. Part of the reason is that you need a bank account in order to be able to sell, in order to use other currencies to sell. And banks make it a little more difficult to set up an account. Like if you wanted to have a business account to sell through Amazon or even through eBay, you need to actually get a business account and be able to start accept payments. Whereas with Bitcoin, accepting payments is as easy as putting up your address. And the other benefit is that Bitcoin allows for very easy escrow services because it allows for multi-signature accounts, multi-signature transactions where people, both buyer and seller, can deposit money into an account where both of them would have to sign off on it in order to withdraw the money again. But in this way, and also obviously because Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies make financial transactions a lot more financially private, let's say. So in this way, you can run a decentralized marketplace where anybody anywhere in the world can sell anything they want to with a currency that goes directly between two people. And because this does not run on any servers but is totally decentralized, there's no way to actually shut this whole service down. You have to go after individual sellers on that market, which if the sellers wanted to, I guess they could do some extra work to hide their location or where they're selling from. But yeah, in a way, I guess Open Bazaar is one of the biggest right now, and hopefully not the last, but one of the biggest, I guess, a free market answers to people being able to sell and buy and trade things that they want to without any kind of third-party interference. And maybe in the long run, Open Bazaar will be an answer to this terrible prohibition problem that we have unfortunately been all saddled with. So yeah, check out Open Bazaar. They have quite a lot of stuff for sale already. As I said, it does require Bitcoin or other cryptocurrencies to buy. But if you haven't bought any Bitcoin yet, right now it's a great time because it's on sale again. But yeah, check it out. Let me know what you think. I have been using it for a little bit too, and I've definitely been supporting the project since it came out many years ago. And it's one of the projects that definitely it ties into the whole vision and goals of Bitcoins and cryptocurrencies in general, which is allowing people, giving people back their freedom for financial and transactions and, being able to make their own choices with regards to what they buy and what they do with their funds and how they trade, bringing the markets back to the people, I guess. Anyway, that's it for today, so I'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye.